I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey-ho!
Hey. That's a big one.
Welcome back.
Welcome back to Babysitting Trevor.
Episode
me,
two.
Carl Donnelly.
And me, Chris Martin.
And soon to be Trevor Crook.
Soon to be Trevor Crook. Yeah, I'm excited about his return.
We had fun catching up.
Yeah, we went up Arthur's Seat with Trev. And I think he quite liked it.
He did like it, actually. I mean, he liked the walk.
He did so many wees in bushes.
He did, yeah, he did. One before we went up and one when we came down. We were only up there for, it was like maybe a half an hour, 40 minutes max.
I think he really just likes pissing in bushes. And there was a walk. If we can put more bushes that he can urinate in the other tasks, he might do more stuff.
Yeah.
So that was fun. And we also got him, well, supposedly he's done some lucid dreaming.
Well, his dreams are pretty lucid already, to be honest. He remembers them amazingly, so he's got good recall. I think he doesn't seem out of the question that he could do lucid dreaming. It's something that I think he's probably quite prone to naturally.
Okay,
so we'll see what happens.
Yeah,
and let's see what he thought of Arthur's Seat.
Maybe he's been dreaming about pissing in bushes. So Trev, hello.
G'day, how are you? Very Australian today.
G'day.
I don't normally, say g'day, but I caught unaware, like, blurted out.
And do you not say it as on principle? You don't like to be a stereotype?
It's too inbred Australian, isn't it? It's like
it's not
the sophisticated Australian that I want to.
It's not as high up the list as like Flaming Galah.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's not far off.
Yeah,
What's a flaming galah?
That's what Alf from Home and Away always used to say, you flaming galah. And it became this sort of weird cultural thing where everyone would just say it about Australians.
Dinky Die is another one.
Yeah. Fair Dinkum.
Yeah, Fair Dinkum.
Daggy,
yeah.
Do you ever hear that before? That was in Neighbours a lot. Oh, you're so daggy.
Yeah. Oh, you're daggy.
He's a dag.
You're such a dag.
Whoop whoop, have you heard that one?
Whoop whoop.
Means in the middle of nowhere. Because I mean, Julie was talking to me one day. She said Simon Clayton's in the countryside somewhere. He's moved. I said, oh, he's in the middle of whoop whoop. She found that was quite amusing.
Sounds fun.
It's an Aboriginal word.
We've sort of just been up to whoop whoop.
We've been in whoop whoop.
Just been up in a bit of whoop whoop.
Arthur's Seat. Well, I'll need somewhere to sit after that climb.
We just got back from Arthur's Seat.
Yeah.
I believe it's an extinct volcano.
Yeah, it looks pretty. It doesn't look that volcano anymore.
Well, I'm glad it's extinct.
Yeah, when does it go from dormant to extinct? Because dormant means there's like not been. I mean, I feel like a dormant one's still not that big a risk, really.
Well, it's a bit like me. I'm dormant most of the time, but one day I'll be extinct. Yeah.
Did you enjoy our little group walk?
I did, actually. I thought I was going to run up, and then I thought, well, I won't run up. It looks I hadn't run up a mountain for probably 2 years. I used to run up mountains in Canberra, actually, fairly regularly, a couple of times a week. And
did you run down as well?
No, you walk down, because that's the pleasure part. You know, you run up, which is the fucking hard yakka, and then you look at the scenery, then you come down.
Hard yakka.
Yeah, that's right.
Hard yakka is another one. Yeah.
Yakka is overalls, or yakka has I suppose these work boots, work pants, and overalls, and they're really tough.
So you run up in overalls?
No, I used to, just a regular tracksuit, but the a really hard yakka means it's, you know, fucking
good
work strength. strength.
Bit scary that we accidentally scared you because I forgot about your side of it. Very windy.
I didn't like that. It took my breath away and I started to hyperventilate.
Is that a real? Because is it an official phobia?
Windophobia.
You're going to get blown off it.
Yeah, it's not. I mean, I weigh 12 stone. I won't get blown anywhere. But the thought is that you're going to get blown away. It's just a very irrational thought.
Yeah.
So in a strong wind, I just, as I say, I don't go out on windy days. I just stay in. I don't like the rustling of the trees. Fucking freaks me out. It's very loud and threatening when the wind's going.
So you know when someone goes in the middle of the night, is there like a murderer? And they go, it's just the wind. You're like, I wish it was a murderer.
Yeah, that's right.
The wind is scary.
It does freak me out. It's very childlike. I mean, it's something you're scared of when you're about 5.
Yeah.
And I haven't really...
Because have you mentioned on this?
You told us a story about being blown away once.
Yeah, that's right.
I think that's obviously... I mean, if as a therapist would say,
they
can absolutely trace where this fear comes from.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, yeah.
But normally a therapist traces it and then you go, oh, I didn't really... And then you go, I'm fine. But you know exactly where your fear comes from.
Yeah, that's right.
Yet you're still
and it just
scared.
If anything, it validates.
Yeah, that's right.
It did actually attack
me. I did actually get blown away. Fucking put away like half a stone.
Any other childhood traumas that you reckon have led to where you're at? Are you scared of... birds?
Yeah, I'm not scared of birds. I'm scared of the flapping of their wings.
It sounds like wind.
You sound a bit like wind, yeah, because what happened, I when I was about 4 years old, this is the same time I got blown away, about the same age.
Yeah.
So I had a really bad fucking year.
When people go about, when I was 30 and I went through a divorce, it was a tough year. You know, when I was 4, I got blown away in a bird scare.
Yeah. What happened, they had this fucking idea years ago. They would release a budgie from its cage, let it fly around the house to exercise.
Whose budgie? You had a family
budgie?
No,
the other family. I went to visit a friend, his family, had let this accursed fucking budgie fly around the house. And I came into the house and it was on the curtain rod, this fucking budgie was, and it flew down and landed on my head.
Yeah.
So straight away I go hysterical, but it stayed on my head. I don't know if it got tangled up in my hair, but it was fucking definitely
stuck
to me.
It was just standing on your head?
Yeah, it was like right at the back here, right there, and flapping.
And just folding
on. And flapping it.
Yeah, hanging on.
Trying to fly off.
Yeah, you're trying to fly off. You're going like fucking, I went hysterical.
Yeah,
of course.
And I just sort of flew out the fucking door, but the budgie's still on my head. And then the budgie just fucked off into the never never.
And then the budgie never, so you lost your mate's budgie.
Yeah, but I lost the mate's budgie.
Essentially used you to escape.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Using my head as a
diversion tactic.
Yeah, yeah. My fucking head.
It's like a prisoner just takes a guard hostage.
Open the doors! Open the doors! I'm running off. I'm gonna hurt Trev. Let me out.
No, it's probably very well planned. He's probably been fucking thinking about this escape plan for a number of days.
It's a terrible year.
Yeah, that's right.
Things back from that year was a great year.
That's
the year gained its freedom.
And then amazing.
Then my head was fucking there.
If you've been caught in the wind at the same time with a budgie on your head, they'd be like, that's the strongest budgie ever. Just carrying a 5-year-old just down a...
So, but I just remember, the budgie would have died because other birds kill it because it's a budgie. They're very colourful and flamboyant. So other birds don't like that.
Is that what you comforted yourself with? At least that guy's dead now.
I didn't hold a grudge against the budgie, but I just remember the wings flapping like fuck in my ears.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And then so when I went to Australia, I was actually walking down Churchill Road, which is in Adelaide, and I didn't know anything about Australian magpies, and they're very fucking aggressive.
Right.
And during certain breeding season, I think it's July, August, September, they swoop you.
Yeah.
And they're quite aggressive.
What are they swooping for? What are they hoping to achieve?
Well, they just kind of like do like a warning shot.
Yeah, but it's not a warning shot. They actually make contact.
They fly into your face.
Oh, if you look at them, they don't fly at you. Somehow your face fucking scares them. Yeah, you know, they don't. They only fly when you turn away. Then they swoop. If you're looking at them, they don't swoop you. So what people used to do was get like a helmet and put a face on the back, and then so the budgie always thought. I mean, the fucking magpie always thought you were looking at it. So some people did that as a strategy.
Wow,
but I didn't know.
If you have two of you walk in, one of you walks forwards, one of you. Walks
yeah, that's right.
Like
yeah.
at the end couple of like an action right. film where you're surrounded on all sides.
I had no idea of that strategy, so I'm just walking. I didn't know anything about the magpie season, nothing. So I'm walking a broad stretch of road, a mile, open territory. Oh, and next minute, I just see the flapping, and fucking freaking out. out. And what the magpies do, they swoop and they fly on to the next fucking post.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean? They're preparing for the next attack.
Just waiting.
So, just waiting. But it was about four of them. There was four of these fucking magpies. And I was like hysterical. Yeah. I was zigzagging up the fucking road. And they were like dive bombs, like Stukas, fucking dive bombing me and shit. I'd know where to go. There was one car. I tried to squeeze under the fucking car.
Oh, my God.
See, I tried to squeeze under the
like
car.
A sniper was out looking for you.
Like,
it's horrible.
And then I had to go a whole mile. And they continually swooping me. And they kept on moving on to the next fucking stoby pole. Actually, nearly cost me a job because there was a magpie in Canberra. I used to go to work a certain way. And this magpie started to swoop me very close to the house.
Yeah.
So I couldn't leave the house. So come work time, I had to leave in the morning. And I wouldn't go out.
What was the job you were doing at the time?
I was a storeman for the government stores. So I'd go out there, the bird would swoop me, I'd come back home, I wouldn't go to fucking work at all.
And did that excuse work when you called up sick?
No, I didn't have a telephone, they couldn't call me or anything.
Just in your house?
I was just in my house, trapped in my fucking house. It was like a siege.
Oh,
it was like a siege from a magpie.
Yeah. Like Panic Room, the movie.
And I thought, it went on for like 5 days. I just didn't go to work, no one heard from me. You know, like I'd never left the fucking house.
Oh no, did they believe you when you finally got
there? What happened was I jumped over the back fence, I went a different way to work.
It's fucking it's the bird was a bully, isn't it?
I know, the bird totally controlled my fucking life. You know, I couldn't believe it. And so I went on a different route to work, and then I got there, the boss, he said, "Where have you fucking been for 5 days? I was attacked by a magpie." He just said, "You're fucking joking." I said, "No, I couldn't. I was trapped in the fucking house. I couldn't fucking leave." And
you're a storeman. What does that job entail for them?
The government stores. So I basically, I was doing fucking nothing. There's nothing to do, really.
Oh,
I seemed to be moving cardboard boxes everywhere. But what I did, I actually built like a little fucking shack, because I wanted to, just not work really. So I built like a hideaway for myself out of cardboard boxes. Like I built
a homeless shelter for yourself.
Yeah, I did.
Work.
Yeah, in the actual warehouse, I actually built it out of cardboard boxes, and I'd three cardboard boxes laid down like a bed.
Yeah,
I used to fucking like have that much of a gap, and then I'd sneak like shimmy through. And then I'd close the gap and I'd be there all fucking day.
And it just looked like a pile of boxes.
Yeah, it looked like a pile of boxes.
It's quite similar to when you didn't go to work. You just basically locked yourself in a self-contained arena. Just hung out.
I had this like little fucking bunker. It was fucking great. And then I think someone must have fucking dobbed me in, and then the next fucking boss came through.
Oh, they found you and you just knocked on your box.
Are you in there, Trev?
Have we hired an 8-year-old who's scared of magpies and has built a den at work?
Yeah.
Oh, have you got any other animal fears? So I got once got chased. Me and my brother were walking our dog when we were about 11 probably, so 10. And we got chased by a flying stag beetle. And it was one of the scariest things I've ever...
You're quite scared of insects, I've noticed that.
Oh, right. Yeah, I think maybe
an insect comes anywhere near you.
What insect, like?
No, any bee, wasp thing, you just panic.
I think it's only bees and wasps. I don't, because I'm not scared of spiders or anything like that.
I think it's
flying insects, maybe. That's where this mind comes from. Yeah, we were just walking our dog, and our dog was a Doberman. Mm. And when the moment, like, this flying stag beetle just came near us. Yeah. It was just hovering above us. It was so big. Me and my brother started getting really scared. We thought the dog would sort it out. The dog took one look at it and went, "I'm out of here, mate." So the three of us started running away from a flying stag beetle. A Doberman scared of a beetle.
It was so
big and like... It was like being followed by a drone.
Yeah.
It's like...
They're ugly as well. That doesn't
help. Horrible. They've got pincers and everything. It's like an alien.
But other animals, I did get a kangaroo. I ran a run-in with some kangaroos once. I got lost in a national park. It was in the middle of Whoop Whoop, actually. I went to a fucking national park.
It's a good start to a story. I had a run-in with kangaroos out in the Whoop Whoop.
It's called Namadgee National Park. It's about 100 km from Canberra.
Yeah.
And it's famous because they've got like Aboriginal cave paintings that are 10,000 years old. So you go there and they deliberately make it hard to find, because if it was easy to get to, all the inbred would show up and fucking get pissed and deface everything. So it's like a 10-kilometre bushwalk. So we did the 10-kilometre trek, and we found the cave paintings, and it was all right. I mean, fucking, the thing is, they're 10,000 years old. I'm not saying they're like fucking Van Gogh or Picasso. They're like fucking kids' drawings, really, but they're 10,000 years old. So quite fascinating. And then we decided to go back and my mate said, "Well, we'll go a shortcut, fuck going back 10 k's. And he said, we can cross the river. There's like a river there. I said, I'm fucking hydrophobia, scared of water. So I don't fancy. He said, I'll piggyback you across. It'll be all right.
Yeah.
And I thought, oh, fuck. You know. Anyway, he said, he's like 6 foot two. He's taking me across the river. And suddenly he goes, cunt up. You know what I mean? We both, you know, like just fell backwards into like, you know, I was like underwater for about fucking 10 minutes. So I jumped up. And
underwater for 10 minutes?
I'm not really. It's an exaggeration. Dead, probably a split second, but I jumped up and I said, well, I'm not fucking going, fuck the shortcut, I'll go back the old way. Yeah. So I tried to get back on the track and I got fucking lost. And I just completely lost. And you could hear that wild dogs in the fucking region. Yeah. So, and it was getting dark and it was quite mountainous and the mountains looked very foreboding, it like fucking quite spooky. Yeah. And you could hear the odd fucking dog howling, yeah. Oh, fuck me, dead. So it was getting dark and I turned a corner in the bush and there was there was 30 kangaroos there, like a herd of kangaroos.
Yeah.
And they, as soon as they heard me, they all turned together and just fucking looked at me like that, give me the evil eye.
Yeah. Who's this guy?
And there was two big grey kangaroos, the leaders, I suppose the bull kangaroos, whatever you call them, and they hopped towards me. They were fucking massive.
Yeah.
And I thought, fucking, I got so pissed off, I said, oh, just fuck off. And they seemed like it had an effect.
They really?
Like, yeah, they didn't come near me.
But I was they understood like, fuck off.
Yeah, just tell them to fuck off, mate. And,
imagine watching someone just from, is that a bloke telling us to fuck off? Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, he is.
So we don't go near him. And then I managed, but I don't know how I did it, but I actually managed back on the right track. Must have been fucking God guiding me or some shit. And then my mate, I made it back to the car. Yeah, remarkably, right. And they said, oh, the rangers have been out looking for you and all that sort of shit. And that was my first run-in with a kangaroo, because I thought kangaroos a bit like Skippy, like harmless little creatures, yeah, but they're not.
Yeah.
And I found out later, I'll fucking go, you'll fucking tear the fuck out of you, well, kick the shit out of you.
Do people get killed by kangaroos? It's got to be quite rare.
Yeah, you can't. Yeah, well, it depends, doesn't it? They get you down. They just, and my kangaroos, well, like, you know, the bloke fighting the kangaroo, yeah. And you know, they could kill you, it depends, you know. They don't let up, they just kick the fuck out of you. They've got no compassion.
Well, luckily on our walk, there was very few scary.
No, yeah. Can we talk about the fact that slipped over?
We both fell over.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, we were the old mountain goat fucking thing happening up there. At one point, we were just jumping.
We did have a few. We talked about mountain goats at the top.
That's right. We were leaping from rock to rock, weren't we? And totally stable. And yeah. Then, with 100 yards to go. Well, you fell over.
Chris went down first.
I fell early. Right.
Yours was very, you did it such a slow fall.
Very slow fall, like an old man.
Yeah.
Which was, it's good when someone falls and you immediately know they're not injured because then you laugh very quickly.
Totally.
And then right near the bottom, Trev stacked it.
Yeah. Similar fall, just sort of slid.
On your bum. Feet. Falling on your bum falling as an adult is just embarrassing.
Did I hit pretty hard? I can't.
No, it was sort of a
gradual thing.
Gradual slide.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
And then Carl got cocky.
I got so excited and ran off.
And then you nearly fell
and
over.
And I almost fell over at pace. If I would have fallen over, I would have probably done myself in, so that would have been a real sort of
falling
irony.
Over in public is absolutely.
Well, you lose your composure, don't you? That's what it is.
I once saw my mum slip over on Aberdeen, like High Street. I don't know what the main High Street in Aberdeen is, but my mum just like, have you ever seen, you know, when somebody slips on it? It's almost like a banana skin slip.
Yeah,
it was just a slidey day, and she was in high heels, and she slipped, and her feet went up in the air, and it's almost like her whole body just like got to the height of her head, and then she just went boom down on her back. Yeah. And I laughed so much.
Oh, really?
I couldn't help it. It was just like, she got up and she was sort of, it was more a, you know, ego. Was
embarrassed.
Bruised. Yeah. But I just cried for about 2 hours. It was so
a
funny.
A slip and a fart together. That's probably the most humiliating.
A slip and a fart?
Yeah, you slip and fart. That's total humiliation.
Did you want to fart?
Especially when people turn around.
But yeah,
they've
slip,
heard the fart.
They all look and then you fart back. Yeah, so like, right. Oh, God, it's the end of the world. Might as well kill myself.
I remember my dad once in a water park, his trunk split on the way down. It's absolutely the best day of my life.
Okay,
just came to the bottom in the pool, just a complete split down the middle.
Oh no.
Dad's nutsack out in a bloody water park. It's just a horrible image. But when you're a kid, it's great. Yeah.
John Pilger, he was a famous Australian documentarist. He's quite a big name, fucking global, actually.
Yeah.
He was in my gym. I bumped him in the fucking my gym in Clapham. Yeah. I said to him, so are you John Pilger? He said, yeah. And he's quite chatty, but I was forcing the conversation. You know what I mean? And we chatted. I said, I'm from Sydney in the area and all that sort of shit. And talked a bit about training with him. But I tell it was a bit forced. I was doing all the talking. Because, you know, the next time I saw him, he, like, just fucking blanked me. So, okay, fuck. But he actually got asked to leave the gym because he's an old bloke. He's, like, 76, and he had shorts on. And every time he did the bench press, his bollocks dropped out. Now, this is a... And people complained about it, and they asked, can you go and put some different shorts on?
He must be aware of it as well.
Sounds
like he's doing it on purpose.
Yeah, I never get people to. I'm very aware of like fly undone. I'm like, where, I know he's an old bloke, but do you get to an age where you just sort of casually have
highly intelligent, highly respected.
Maybe that's why he was sheepish when you were chatting to him, because he was aware, were his bollocks out at the time when you were
asking. Yeah, no, this was after he talked to me the first time, and then I thought, this is like a world luminary who Hugo Chavez quotes, and all the world leaders quote John Pilger, and he was in my gym doing a bench press with bollocks hanging out.
That's a great way of levelling out anyone. This intelligence behind him, but it's just a bloke with
a very, very unsavoury fucking situation.
So he actually so he had to stop going?
No, he just went back and got some new shorts.
So, the walk was good, though. I felt like that was kind of a nice group activity. It's a good way to clear your
head. We picked up a coffee afterwards. You went to park the car, Chris. And you were saying that it energised you.
It was, yeah.
It was not. I felt the same. It's the first bit of exercise I've done in a couple of weeks. It was really... It felt levy. Yeah,
It wasn't hard enough to be a workout. It was like a warm-up for a workout.
Yeah.
And I felt like training straight away. Right. If it's a hard workout, you don't feel like doing anything after you're fucked. But this was like...
It's good, like, head clearer.
I love the fresh air, because in London there's no fresh air. There's like one part of London where there's a fucking... where you gather for fresh air, because generally it's polluted as fuck. Yeah. When you come here on top of a mountain and the beautiful fresh air and the blue skies, it's like fucking...
Yeah, it was lovely.
Last night I dreamt it was a butterfly. Was I a man dreaming it was a butterfly, or a butterfly dreaming it was a man? Work that one out, then get back to me.
Your individual task this week was to do some lucid dreaming.
Yeah. I sent you sort of the tips on lucid dreaming. Did you actually give any of them a go?
Because
they're simple and sort of understandable. But when I first read into it,
give a couple of examples.
So basically, the little tricks are start keeping a dream journal. That's one thing. Yeah. And you're meant to, if you wake up from a dream, you're meant to sit up and write it down rather than sleep. Do you remember it freshest when you've just come out?
So I couldn't be fucked doing that.
I didn't think you would.
Where's the pen? Fucking where's the paper?
If you've got a smartphone, there's an app you can have called Dream Journal where you just wake up and you just open it, type it in your phone, and you can go back to sleep, and you know, you look in the morning. It's really funny when you actually look a few days later when you've forgotten you've written one and the stupid stuff that you've written down.
Well, the reason I didn't do it, because there's something called, if you do this mental health thing you're doing, aren't you? Are you doing a mental health, charity show or something?
I did one the other night, gala for mental health.
Now, if anyone's suffering from anxiety, they'll tell you that anxiety comes with some really extreme fucking side effect. One of them is something called depersonalization, which is like a withdrawal. What happens is when you're under constant stress, your brain goes, we need to withdraw you from the source of the stress, which is like reality. So then you withdraw, and you have this sense of being, you can feel withdrawn where you're pretty much on your own, and you're looking at things like watching television.
Yeah.
Right.
And
out of body type thing.
Yeah, almost. Yeah. It's called a sense of unreality, because it all feels fucking unreal. It's like you're half awake, and a lot of times you shake your head and you think you're fucking dreaming. Yeah. So the reason I didn't do lucid dreaming is because it feels a bit like depersonalization.
But so instead, you've been noting down your dreams, haven't you? You've been sort of keeping a journal.
I have, but I'm very good at, I'm usually very good at remembering. So the next day.
I mean, they do tend to have pretty good cameos and celebrities.
That's right. They not all the time celebrities, but I mean, the last two dreams they had was like a dream and a sequel.
Yeah,
they were actually celebrity dreams.
So you had a dream and a sequel in one night.
Yeah, I did. Yeah,
that's impressive. I don't think I've ever had that.
I can't. I've got terrible. Is there something? I rarely remember a dream. What does that mean about me?
I just think most people don't try and remember their dreams.
You're a sociopath.
Yeah, that's probably it.
You're an idiot, mate.
You're a diff and you want to murder. That's it. So what were your ones involving in?
Well, my first dream was, as I said, you don't see them in my dreams, and a camera in them. So it was somehow I was involved in a reality TV show where we were strapping people to inside cars and then pushing a car into a lake.
Sounds like a terrible reality TV
show.
Sounds like something that has been spoken about around a table.
And then we had a camera in the car, so you could see the people's fucking death struggle.
Wow.
Or whatever. And there was no actually drowning in the dream. My subconscious went, no, you can't go there. It's fucked. You know what I mean? Maybe I was my a subconscious became moral all of a sudden. It like didn't show that bit.
It's edited out.
Yeah, edited. It's like the version they play over but, like the Middle East. You can't have those scenes in it.
So censorship.
Yeah, censorship over the drowning.
Censorship in my fucking dreams. Can you believe it? The, so anyway, the...
Who was that with?
Well, the Ricky Gervais was in it.
Okay.
Yeah, Ricky Gervais. We strapped Ricky... to a fuck inside.
Oh, so he was are you on strapped the show? Ricky?
He was on the show.
He
was
wasn't even host. He was actually just a drowned entrant.
That's right. He was an entrant in it for some unknown reason. Wanted to be on my fucking
must
reality TV show.
Career must have waned and, in your subconscious.
Yeah, that's right. And we strap him in, and I don't know. He was holding something. He was strapped in, and then I thought it was a baby, but I thought, oh, this is fucking really fuck this dream. Yeah, it meant like getting really sick, isn't it? But then I thought maybe it could have been a doll or a pet. Which isn't much better. But no.
Be but, weird if he was holding a doll.
Yeah, a doll would be better, obviously.
That's creepy.
Yeah, the doll. We'll say a fucking doll. Yeah, I couldn't quite make it. It could have been a baby, a pet, or a doll. We'll say doll for the reasons of fucking decency. We'll call it a doll. And we strapped him in. We pushed the car into the lake. And then the cameras are showing Ricky. But he's making no moves to escape. He's just fucking like
just
that. The water's, the water's moving. It's like he wanted to die.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we wanted him to die, actually, to be honest with you. And it was like very altruistic of him to commit suicide on television. But the but when it got to the point where the water just about to basically drown him, the dream stopped.
Oh, all right. Right. So it was a cliffhanger.
Like, it was like an intermission. What happened then? Dream 2 kicked in. Yeah. And I was a member of a gang.
Right.
Yeah, it was in a fucking, like a street gang.
Street gang. How old, what was the rest of the crew? What they looked like? What, do you remember
The rest
like?
Of the crew were young blokes, but Ricky was the gang leader. Ricky's the base.
Well, it's good to know he survived, but he must have escaped out of the car with a doll. Was he holding a doll as a gang leader?
He must have. He did have wet hair, so he must have gone from one dream straight to the other.
Yeah, he dried off.
But he had no legs. He walked around normal. Maybe he cut his own legs off to escape the fucking crowd.
So what do you mean when he walked around normal, though?
He was just walking normally, like he had legs, but he didn't have any legs
at all. There was an air gap.
Invisible legs.
Wow. Yeah, yeah. So
Was his torso moving like he was walking?
Yes, that's right.
So he wasn't just floating around?
No, it wasn't. He was moving like that, but he had no legs.
He's been with the confidence of someone with legs, but he had no legs. Okay.
That's right. So he had no fucking legs. But anyway, he was the ringleader, so we gathered around the kitchen table, and Ricky had a great idea that we're going to set fire to cars and then and ask for a ransom.
For a ransom?
Now we phoned up the police.
Presumably he was a bit he was angry at cars in general after the first dream.
Oh, actually, obviously there is a theme here.
He's like, if I set fire to one, there's no way you can wet one.
The idea was to go on a spree of setting fire to cars.
And then who was going to pay the ransom?
The police.
Oh, I see. Like, stop the crime waves.
Yeah. And we said we're going to keep on doing it unless we get a ransom. We arranged a meeting where they dropped the ransom off and we picked it up. So we picked up the ransom.
Oh, right.
Do you remember how much it was?
No, well, we took it back to the flat and it was just a bunch of flowers.
Chris has fallen off his chair.
Ricky had asked for a fucking bunch of flowers.
He'd accidentally asked for flowers.
No, he'd asked for
He didn't tell you what he'd asked for.
I didn't know what it was.
Are you sure he wasn't a magician?
No.
He's got no legs, but he's somehow got legs, and he's just got a bunch of flowers
So anyway, we got the flowers, and we reckon the fucking mission was a success. We got the fucking ransom, and I've made no judgment on the ransom. I go, a fucking bunch of flowers. But then Ricky noticed a fucking wire coming from the floor.
It tapped it, mate.
A tracking device. So then, anyway, about a minute later, the fucking police are kicking in the front door. Yeah. They get Ricky down. They fucking hold him down. And everyone scatters. And then I get pulled. The copper grabs me and he pushes me against the wall. And he says, what the fuck are you doing? And then the dream finished.
It's another cliff.
I had no answer.
I can't wait to hear what the next dream is of Ricky Gervais. That's something involving a car, I assume, again.
Yeah,
so that's my two rather fucking bizarre dreams.
That was the most detailed dream.
Yeah, that's great. You did tell us a story last night that made us laugh so much about pants, actually.
Oh, the underpants.
I think pants are something everyone would say, always buy a new pant. You know what I mean?
Always buy a new
pant. Always buy a lovely... And I'd almost argue you want them in an enclosed packet to make sure they've not touched anyone's business.
Security seal still on, preferably. Yeah. Maybe a padlock.
You told us a story about how you... you sort of once got given secondhand pants. Yeah. And it turned out to be quite a horrible backstory.
Yeah, no. Well, the story, it's a fucking sad story, actually. I was going to China. I went to China fairly regularly. And my wife was Chinese, so my in-laws are all Chinese. So my brother-in-law, quite a nice bloke. I couldn't really speak to him because he fucking didn't speak English. I didn't speak Chinese. But I used to go through my wife. And she'd sort of, communicate for us. So when she was around, it was like fucking great. And, they thought it was like, fucking the life of the party. And when she fucked off, there was absolute silence.
Men staring at each other.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what you can do.
Very, very uncomfortable feeling. You go, well, what can we talk about now? Fucking nothing. Till she comes back, then fucking it's on again. But I was in a hotel room in Hong Kong and she'd been to Shanghai and she came back with a big bag of, she said, you've got some underpants for you. Now, what happened, this poor bloke had died, by the way. He was deceased. So she had a big pile of fucking underpants. I said, where'd you get them? I'm very paranoid. Where'd you get them? She said, I bought them in the shop. In China, you don't necessarily get them in packages. You can get them.
Big old bag.
How many pants are we talking?
Oh, probably in total, probably about 20 pairs. 20 pairs of underpants.
So many pants to get given.
Bag of 20 pairs of fucking underpants. And I said, where'd you get them? She said, oh, I bought them in some shop in Nanking Road. I go, all right, fuck. So I started to wear them. And then I noticed after a while the pants were getting smaller and smaller and
size-wise,
fucking smaller.
So there was sizes.
And see, this poor bloke died of fucking cancer. So I thought, I fucking put two and two together. She'd given me the dead man's fucking underpants. Hence the gradual decline in size.
What did you say to her when you realised?
I said, where'd you get that? She said, well, whatever his name was in China. I can't get there fucking like, he's dead. He's fucking dead. I feel really bad. And she said, yeah, but, he's a really nice, he was a really nice man. He really liked you. And now you don't.
So he wants to give you his pants.
Wear
his pants. Carl, when I die, I'd like you to wear my pants.
I felt fucking, I said, look, I can't wear a dead man's pants. I thought it might affect my sperm count wearing a dead man's pants.
Tarnished with death.
Yeah, that's right, tarnished with death. My nutsack was surrounded by death. So.
Haunted, it might be haunted.
Yeah, yeah.
Haunted your pants, yeah,
man. Haunted. You get haunted bollocks
afterwards. Yeah, I know, that's right.
Derek Acora comes snooping around your crotch region. What was that?
Most haunted. Episode in Trevor's pants.
Let us know you're here. For some reason, the ghost's spelling out in Chinese.
That's right.
Chinese, get your dick out of my pants.
Yeah, that's right. I'm going to. Got a ghost direction. But anyway, I said, listen, I can't wear fucking dead man's underpants. I felt bad about it because she said, well, what's wrong? They're clean and they're perfectly good underpants. And he was a nice white. And she couldn't understand because the Chinese go on practicality. They don't understand. That, to them, they just wear them. They wouldn't give a fuck, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I was like, yeah, I can't. She gave me a fucking hard time. Eventually she accepted I wasn't going to wear them, but I used to keep the underpants in a bag in the wardrobe. And every time I opened the wardrobe, I'd look at them and feel fucking terrible. You know what I mean? I said, I've got to get rid of these fucking underpants. You know what I mean? And then I felt guilty about getting rid of them because I thought, well, maybe it's disrespectful to his memory or some shit.
Should have given them burial. Buried the pants in the garden.
Cremated them or something.
Ceremony.
Next to a guinea pig.
But I thought, I felt guilty because I thought, no, this is like disrespecting this poor bloke. He's dead. He was a perfectly reasonable human being, but I can't go anywhere near his fucking underpants. And I felt guilty. But they were at the bottom of the drawer for fucking months. I thought, I've got to get rid of them. They're like, somehow infecting the whole fucking flat. Yeah. Anyway, she eventually left me. She fucked off another bloke, and that was my ideal opportunity.
Rid yourself of
the pants. I mean, you lost a wife, but you also got to get rid of some pants.
Yeah, but I wore a rubber glove. This is how fucking bad it is, isn't it? I put a rubber glove on it, and I picked up the bag of underpants, carried them out like they were like the plague-ridden underpants, and I put them out. I went out to the rubbish bin, recycling, and I just dropped them, and I felt a great weight off my shoulders.
Yeah, I bet.
Well, maybe that's the wrong body part. But
Can I just... So obviously the story is quite odd anyway, but what I want to know is, like, did she give you anything else from her brother, or was it just pants? Like, I mean...
No, just the underpants.
Just so, like, does that mean, like, another family member got his shirts?
Yeah, probably. Someone
got his socks?
Yeah, there was no money involved. I didn't get a fucking cent. So I think other family members probably got his shirt and... Yeah. Like they didn't have charity shops in China, so you wouldn't give your clothes to charity. You either threw them out or you wore them, sort of. And times were pretty hard then. They were struggling financially, so fucking why throw them out?
But I guess that's how you work out where you are. Closeness to someone is what item of clothing you get.
That's right.
Like I'd say probably pants, you're the last one on the list to get the definitely. Clothing.
Like, it depends how close you are. Like, could I wear your underpants if you died? I'm not so sure. I probably couldn't actually, no.
No, I don't know.
Or could you wear your dad's underpants if he died?
I mean, it'd be very big on
you. Yeah, very big on you, yeah.
You and me could both get in them, Trev. Yeah. It should be a really weird photograph. I don't think I would give... That's a good way of ranking your friends. Like, what would you give Julia out of your clothing? Like, if you died, what item of clothing would you give her?
To wear, or just
keep
a memento or something.
Yeah,
like
what
that.
Would you say? Well, I guess you've got to put your.
I think one of my shirt. I've got very good shoulders. They're very wide, nice shoulders. Nice that. If we give her a shirt, that would be a remembrance to how good my fucking shirt, how broad my shoulders were. Yeah, yeah.
And then it would be what would me and Carl get?
Let me think. Socks.
Socks. Okay.
Socks each.
One each.
One each.
No. What you? I'd give you. I'd give you pairs of socks, but they'd be different socks.
Right.
You get me?
Yeah, I get that. That's nice.
Yeah, so you'd have a red sock and a blue sock and a brown sock and a white sock. And nice. That's that, yes.
That'd be nice. Can we get that written up in a will?
Yeah.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Australian poetry. Well, I think my poetry is very good, but I'm no Banjo Patterson.
So, Trev, now we've got your poem.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
It's about what happened was I thought when I was listening to my poems that we record, I thought it just sounded like I was reading them. I wasn't performing them.
Right.
So I thought, because there were a lot to remember, really. I couldn't be fucked remembering all that. But I wrote a simple poem about Sydney and all the rest of it. So I thought I'd try and remember it. I may fuck it up now, you know what I mean? Yeah, but I was doing it on the train. Yeah. And I thought, I fucking remembered it all the way through. So I thought, well, fucking try and... Don't worry about the mechanics of the language and whether you're going to fucking trip over a word or something. Just fucking try and recite it properly. Yeah. Right? So I wrote a poem. It's about... I could fuck this up, but it doesn't matter. We can edit. And...
That's good job, all
that
to do.
Yeah, that's right.
Go for it.
Yeah, it's about Sydney, the reason I'm leaving and how it's quite hard to leave Sydney.
Yeah.
But why I'm leaving. So it goes like, how's it go? Oh, yes. The harbour, the jewel and the crown, the opera house on sacred ground. Oh, fuck, start again. We've got, sorry.
That's right, man.
I've got it. Okay. The harbour, a jewel in the crown, the opera house on sacred ground, the bridge, a steel rainbow, it will be hard to let it go. From Coogee to Bondi, the waves crash and foam, this is Australia, and I still call it home. Like the words of the song, we all love it so, it will be hard to let it go. It was built by convicts, no labour of love, the crack of the whip, the sweat and the blood. But what they built continues to grow. It will be hard to let it go. The smell of the wattle, a peppery refrain, permeates the air after the rain. Indigenous nature on full show. It will be hard to let it go. But leave it I must, the choice is mine. Something is lost that I need to find. A sense of purpose, a return to a life. A return to the arms of my beautiful wife.
Oh, mate, that is bit of history, bit of love.
It's got a lot,
indigenous,
a lot.
Everything covered in that. That's lovely, Trev.
And it rhymes.
And it rhymes. And it rhymes. That's the most important thing about it. So that's all you got a poem from before. You didn't do a poem or write anything this week?
No, I wrote a eulogy for Carl's funeral.
For my funeral? Okay, all right, of course. Yeah. That was a nice thing for me to hear.
But you wrote a eulogy for Carlson.
Have you written it? Have you got it with you?
Yeah, yeah. I know. Yeah, Joel's read it, yeah.
Oh, have you got it? Right, okay. This is a surprise to me.
I don't know if we'll do it now, but the...
are we going to do it, Joel?
Yeah, we'll do it now.
Right, apparently I'm about to hear my eulogy. Does it mention how I've died in this?
Yes, it does, yeah.
Oh, right.
Okay.
So this is about me having a little glimpse of the future.
You've looked into how Carl's going to die, and you've written a nice thing.
It's a skydiving, drug-related death.
Oh, amazing. Oh, I am excited about this.
Okay. This is all tongue-in-cheek, Carl. Don't take anything.
Oh, thanks, mate. Cheers. Good.
You're not actually going to die really soon.
Perish.
Maybe.
We're here today to pay respects to the late Carl Donnelly. It is sad that his family could not be here. In their words, there were more pressing concerns. Carl had the talent to be a major star, but he never quite made it up to that expectation. Indeed, if not for babysitting Trevor, he may well have died a total unknown. If he was alive now, he would no doubt give thanks to me for having personally revived his career. Life is cruel, Carl being reduced to doing his latest Edinburgh show on a bus, which really pissed the passengers off. Nevertheless, due to babysitting Trevor, Carl's career was again in the ascendancy, and he was looking forward to next year's festival, where his dream of doing a show in a natural room would be realised, albeit a very small room. It was a shock to learn his death was drug-related. Taking acid while skydiving was a very bad idea. Hitting the ground at terminal velocity brought that particular trip to an abrupt end. So we're here now to remember Carl's good points. Charm, good looks, sophistication are qualities he did not have. But he made up for it with his childlike understanding of reality, a result of autism and recreational drugs. An endearing trait that made him much loved in the comedy world. His generosity when performing, where he would often die on purpose to make everyone else on the bill look good. That kind of sacrifice has not been seen since Dunkirk, and was one of the main reasons other comics loved to work with him, and one of the reasons why so many are here now to pay their respects.
That's nice.
Yeah. Carl believed in Buddhism and reincarnation. What you will come back as is anyone's guess. Let's hope it has absolutely nothing to do with the comedy scene. Carl asked me to write his obituary if something happened to him, but that would have meant acquiring many personal details and doing some research, which, to be honest, I couldn't be fucked doing. Life is too short, as Carl found out. I think this is more of a roast, which is very appropriate, seeing that he's going to be cremated.
That's really a great, unexpected thingy. Yeah. Are we unlucky on dying, Carl?
Are you going to write one about Chris?
Yes, I have.
Okay, this is good.
Good. I look forward to hearing how I'm going to die.
I just got one of
them. There's a connection between the death, that's all.
Oh, really?
Oh, okay. Wait.
That's exciting, isn't it?
Was I strapped to you? Yeah.
Ricky Gervais makes an appearance in your world.
Yeah, I hope so. It's a lovely bunch of flowers presented by him. So, Trev, you enjoyed this week's... you enjoyed the walk?
Yeah, very...
enjoyed the walk.
Yeah.
You didn't do Lucid Dreaming because you got medical exemption on that one.
Yeah.
But you did tell us a great
dream. Keep us updated on the dreams.
Yes, okay.
I want to know how Ricky Gervais, well, gets involved again.
Yes, okay, so he comes up. Sometimes they don't come up again. I think we had one fight with Spike Milligan.
So we'll let you know after this what activities we've got for the next episode.
Karen was good, and the obituary or the eulogy was
unexpected, a pleasant surprise.
What a lovely surprise to get on an afternoon. But next week, hopefully, we get to hear Chris's demise.
I can't wait. Cheers, Trev.
Does it cheer you up writing eulogies?
It does, actually.
We found another new angle there to we go. Keep it you does. Entertained.
Not a lot
week.
Of cognitive therapists recommend writing eulogies about your friends.
Cheers, Trev.
Bye-bye.
Cheers, mate. Yes, that was quality.
Episode 2.
That was great.
Done.
That was good. Those dreams.
Dreams done. Not all dreams done. Obviously, lucid dreaming. Yeah. You got a bit scared off by the concept of
it. I get it. We don't want to make his anxiety worse. No. We're here to help
the
anxiety.
It's a weird one, because I do genuinely think lucid dreaming is... A lot of people use it for sort of meditative purposes, but I think the concept of it on paper does sound a bit scary, so I understand why he was a bit uncertain.
Yeah.
But to be fair, he remembered his dreams very well. It's nice to see Gervais get.
Yeah, it's always good to have
some more airtime.
Yeah, non-sports person cameo is good as well. Yeah, yeah. time to bring in some more people from comedy and entertainment.
Yeah, so that was good. But I would say my highlight of that episode was his brother-in-law's
bag of pants. That is
a bag of pants.
It's next level, isn't it?
That is it's creepy. It's haunted underwear.
Yeah,
I'm actually on for once fully behind Trev on that one.
What I'm not?
I'm not wearing dead man's pants.
I know. I totally agree.
There's a reason.
But not
charity,
for a haunted reason.
There's a reason charity shops don't.
Yeah,
I guess that's a good point. Yeah, like, I don't want to wear an alive man's pants.
Yeah,
either.
Exactly. I don't want to wear any secondhand pants. Always just wear new pants, your own pants. Yeah. Break them in and then.
I forgot the way Trev made it sound was like he wouldn't mind wearing pants as long as the guy was still alive.
Yeah, which I don't. I mean, yeah, he's not really one for buying new clothes anyway.
No.
But yeah, I think
they probably had less holes in them than his shoes. So, what did you enjoy about that?
I didn't know he had a bird phobia. Well, not a real bird phobia, but a phobia of the sound of birds' wings flapping.
Yeah.
That's a whole new one that I did not expect.
No.
So that was, that magpie story is pretty funny, isn't it?
Being kept hostage.
Yeah, being kept hostage in your own house by a magpie.
It's a good excuse being late to work. If any commuters are listening to this and you're running late, just say that you were trapped on the train by some angry pigeons.
Yeah. So that, I think that is something that is quite... It's good. I think there's we could do something with that.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's a good idea for next week. Why don't we go to like a bird sanctuary?
Well, we could go to Duddington Lock.
All right.
It would be weird because you obviously
proposed to my wife.
Proposed
there.
To your wife. So you're quite weird to then take Trevor.
There was one lovely bird there. all right, we'll take Trev there. That'll be a good group.
It's quite a gentle bird sanctuary. It's not like he's not going into an aviary full of birds. It's like, it's a nice open lock and there's just loads of birds there, like swans and ducks and things. So we'll take him there.
And let's make him watch a show.
Yeah.
He's in Edinburgh at a Fringe Festival.
Yeah, weirdly, he doesn't strike me as an audience member. I can't imagine Trev sitting through something without his just opinions racing around.
Yeah, or thinking of... Top 10 for him. All right, so make him go watch a show.
Let's go make him watch a show, not of something he'd expect or would normally go to.
Yeah.
Find a bit of like experimental theatre or something.
Great. All right, let's do that. And if you've loved the episode, keep listening. Get a friend to download it.
Yeah.
Take their phone off them. Download it so they set the Trevolution.
And then do that thing that friends do is when you change the language. So you've done that
to Turkish. Yeah, had it on a Nokia once. Changed it to Turkish. Don't know how to turn it back off.
But don't do that because then they won't be able to listen to Babysitting Trevor.
You have to go see a genius. right, so download it. Tell people to download it. Go on facebook.com/babysittingtrev. Instagram and Twitter @babysittingtrev. And just rate it on iTunes. I'll see you guys next week.
Yeah, see you next week, guys. Thank you. Babysitting Trevor is a .. production hosted by Carl Donnelly, Chris Martin, and Trevor Crook, and is produced by Joel Porter.